From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Yet some Christians believe they can pick and choose which parts of the Bible to follow, especially when it comes to the issue of same-sex relationships. Today, I'm going to share with you the grim reality of what happens to those who knowingly defy God's commandments. My message is titled, When God Lets Go, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
At this crucial time in our nation and world, people are desperately searching for truth. Fearing their future, we hear their urgent cry for hope. And God is clearly calling Pathway to Victory to deliver the only answer that truly satisfies. You can help us proclaim the enduring hope and truth of God's Word through the Gospel Hope Matching Challenge. Every dollar you give between now and July 4th will be matched. Join us in this endeavor to share the hope of the gospel with double the impact.
The God that homosexuals say they worship is not the God of the Bible. It is the God of their own making. They have created God in their own image. They have imagined God to be a sovereign who approves of everything and condemns nothing. But that is not the God of the Bible, who says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." A.W. Tozer says, the idolater simply imagines things about God and acts as if they were true. And that's what the homosexual Christian does. He imagines God to be a God who approves everything and judges nothing and acts accordingly. No, the Bible says homosexuality is both the cause of and the result of God's judgment. And I want you to notice the three statements here the Bible makes about homosexual behavior. Not only is it degrading and degenerative, Paul says homosexuality is destructive. Look at what he says. He says that homosexuals receive in their persons the due penalty of their error. Now, some people believe this due penalty they receive in their bodies is the coming judgment of God, and that may be true. But others believe this due penalty they receive are the physiological consequences of engaging in unnatural sexual practices. Now, this comes not from Focus on the Family. This comes from the government's Center for Disease Control. Did you know homosexual men are 8 times more likely to contract hepatitis, and they are 14 times more likely to contract syphilis than heterosexual men? Now, how do you explain that? Why are they 8 times more likely to have hepatitis, 14 times more likely to contract syphilis than heterosexual men? It's because what they do goes against nature. It is unnatural. And you certainly see that in AIDS. Yes, it is true that the effects of age have spilled over into the heterosexual population. But make no mistake about it, AIDS is primarily a homosexual disease. Don't take my word for it. Listen to the words of Matt Foreman, the executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, in an address he made to homosexual activists. This is one talking to one of his own, a group of homosexual activists. He says, quote, folks, with 70% of the people in this country living with HIV, being gay or bisexual, we cannot deny that HIV is a gay disease. We have to own up to that, end of quote. Do you hear what he's saying? I've been misquoted in the press. I've never said that 70% of homosexuals have AIDS. But what he's saying here is 70% of those with HIV are engaged in homosexual practice. The Bible says homosexuality is a destructive behavior. Dr. Milton Helpern was the chief medical examiner for New York City. He is considered the father of modern forensic science. He makes no claims about being a Christian, nor does he condemn homosexuality on moral grounds. But I want you to listen to what he says about the destructive nature of homosexual relationships. He writes this in his biography entitled Where Death Delights. Now, I found this in a commentary I was reading, and I was so astounded by what he wrote, I thought, this writer, Christian writer, is making this up or he's exaggerating what Dr. Helpern has said. So I went back to the original source to see if this is what really the chief medical officer for New York City had said, and it was word for word. Listen to this. It is not my role to condemn homosexuality as such, and I leave it to the psychiatrists and psychologists to try to figure out why people practice homosexuality. Having performed 60,000 autopsies, I say this. It is high time that those who deviate from the norms should understand the risks. I don't know why it's so, but it seems that the violent explosions of jealousy among homosexuals far exceed those of the jealousy of a man for a woman and a woman for a man. The pent-up charges and energy of the homosexual relationship simply cannot be contained. When the explosive point is reached, the result is brutally violent. But this is the normal pattern for these homosexual attacks. Multiple stabbings, senseless beatings that obviously must continue long after the victim dies. When we see these brutal multiple wound cases in a single victim, we just automatically assume that we are dealing with a homosexual victim and a homosexual attacker, end of quote. Is that not astounding? the chief medical officer for New York City? Why is that? Why is there such vindictiveness and brutality in homosexual relationships? It's because what they are doing is abnormal. It is degrading, and it leads to destruction. The Bible says when a person abandons God, God abandons them to immorality, to abnormality. And thirdly, he says he abandons unbelievers to depravity. Look at verse 28. When a person has rejected God and replaced the knowledge of the true God with a false God, sometimes it does lead to homosexuality, but that's not the only sin that it leads to. Look at verses 28 to 32. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Time doesn't allow us to look at each of these. They are mainly self-evident. But I want you to notice the last two expressions in verse 31 of a person who has abandoned God, the kind of depravity that he falls into. He uses the word unloving, verse 31. They become unloving. Now, that seems like a harmless word, unloving. But this word in Greek refers to an unnatural family relationship. I read recently of a great illustration of that. A mother who just gave birth to an infant daughter. As soon as that daughter was born, the mother took duct tape and placed it over the infant's mouth and dropped the infant in a garbage dumpster. Now that is unnatural. That is unloving. What is it that possesses a mother to do that? And you say, that is awful. Ladies and gentlemen, that is no more heinous than a mother making the choice to butcher her own baby while in the womb through abortion. It is all the same thing. It is a sign of a depraved mind that would take the life of a child. That's what he's talking about here, unloving. And then he uses the word in verse 31, unmerciful. That word means ruthless. It means without mercy. I read not long ago of a child molester who escaped from jail, and the authorities were particularly intent on capturing this man because of what he had described to counselors was his fantasy. This man fantasized over and over again about kidnapping little girls, raping them, torturing them, and then electrocuting them to death. You say, that's sick! Yes, it is sick. It is sickness. But where does the sickness come from? It comes from a man that has abandoned God and has been abandoned by God. The downward path that leads us away from God always results in immorality, abnormality, and depravity. But will you notice the climax of this downward path? It is not homosexuality. It is not being unloving and unmerciful. The final thing he says in verse 32 is, not only do people practice these things, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them as well. That is the final sign of being abandoned by God, is that you applaud that which God absolutely hates. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what is happening in our country right now. We are condoning what God has condemned. We are calling natural what God calls unnatural. We are calling good what God says is evil. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what the Congress says. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what the President of the United States says. The judge of all the universe has spoken, and he has said homosexuality is a perversion. Abortion is murder. And make no mistake about it, the message of Romans 1 is this: the individual, the nation that abandons God and his law will be abandoned by God for its own self-destruction. And that is what we're witnessing in the United States of America right now. We have abandoned God. We have abandoned his word. We have called good what he has called evil. And God has taken his hands. He has removed the restraints, and he is allowing us to follow the downward path to our own destruction. Well, Pastor, is there any hope? I'm one of those people who feels like I'm on a downward path away from God. That may be true of you. Maybe your downward path has led you into sexual immorality. Or maybe it's taken a different form in your life. Addictions in your life that you just can't overcome. Or just a general sense of despair. You think you have been abandoned by God. Is there any way to reverse that and start on the path up toward God? The good news is there is. Remember the story again of the prodigal son? There he was in the far country, far away from his father, living in depravity, despair, depression, eating the slop that was only meant for the pigs. And yet the Bible says one day he came to himself and he said, I don't want to live like this any longer. I will get up and I will go back to my father. And Luke 15 verse 20 says, and he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The son started walking toward the father, but the father, who had searched the horizon every day for any sign of his son, one day he saw his boy on the horizon, and when the son was walking, the father started running to his son. He hugged him, he embraced him, and he forgave him, and God will do the same for you. If you're willing to take that one step toward God, confess your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ, God will come running toward you, ready to forgive anything and everything you've done. Well, Pastor, you don't understand the depravity I've been involved in. I've been involved in sexual immorality. I've been involved in addiction. I've been involved in all kind of sin. God could never forgive me, could he? I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Words of tremendous, tremendous hope for any of you who feel like you've been abandoned by God. Listen to this. Paul writes, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, for neither fornicators, that is, those who are involved in premarital sex, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, some people put a period right there and they don't read any further. I've heard people use these verses to say it's impossible for a homosexual to be saved and to go to heaven. That is the unpardonable sin, homosexuality. Well, if that's true, I want you to notice what else this verse says. It's not only homosexuals who can't be saved, adulterers can't be saved. Have you ever lusted after somebody who's not your mate? Jesus said, you're an adulterer if that's true of you. That means you can't go to heaven if the homosexual can't go to heaven. Or he talks about idolaters. They don't have any place in heaven. Have you ever loved somebody or something more than you've loved God? You can't go to heaven either, the Bible says. And not only that, the covetous. Covetous, have you ever desired something that somebody else owned? If so, you're not going to make it into heaven either. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is every one of us is guilty of one or more of these sins. And that's why none of us can make it to heaven. The kingdom of God is shut off from us. There's nothing we can do to get to heaven. But there's something God can do for us to make sure we go to heaven. Look at verse 11. I love these words. Paul says, and such were some of you. Some of you, Corinthians, were adulterers, covetous, idolaters, homosexuals. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Ladies and gentlemen, regardless of your sin, regardless of the depravity you've experienced, your sins are not too numerous. They are not too serious not to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ can wash us from all unrighteousness. That is the truth. That is the hope that we all have. Isn't that great that we serve that kind of God? Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, God is willing to forgive you. Whenever I think about that truth, I think about the story of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. You know the story of John Newton. He was an infidel. He was a slave trader. He was involved in every kind of debauchery imaginable until God reached down and saved him. And not only did God save John Newton, he called him to be a pastor, a preacher of the Word of God. Some years ago, a group of us went to Olney, England, where John Newton pastored. And I remember walking into his church. And I had a big pulpit way up there, and I climbed up the steps and opened the Bible and read from a passage of Scripture, Ephesians 2, about God being rich in mercy, able to save us through grace. And after we finished in that little chapel, we walked outside to the cemetery behind the church where John Newton is buried. We stood in front of his grave, and there was his tombstone. And it made such an impression on me. I took a picture of it so I could remember forever what the word said. John Newton's tombstone reads, "John Newton, once an infidel and libertine, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy." No wonder Newton was the one who wrote those words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." Listen to me, it doesn't matter how far you have wandered away, you are not beyond the reach of God's amazing grace. God only gives up on those who give up on Him.
Romans 1 was written not to keep people out of heaven, but to draw them into heaven. All across the country and around the world, men and women are choosing to accept God's amazing grace. Now, before our time is up for today, I'm eager to remind you that time is limited on the Active Matching Challenge. If you've heard me talk about this opportunity in recent days, let me encourage you to respond while there's still time. The Gospel Hope Matching Challenge was established by a group of friends who wanted to inspire others to participate in giving the Pathway to Victory. And because of this $750,000 matching challenge, you have the opportunity to double the impact of your generous gift today. You pick the amount, and it's automatically multiplied times two. So, thank you for joining forces with Pathway to Victory to pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word. We couldn't possibly do so without the support of friends just like you. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment. As a parent or grandparent, there's nothing more important than teaching your children and grandchildren what it means to love, follow, and obey Jesus Christ. That principle guided Amy and me as we raised our two daughters, Julia and Dorothy. And now I want to help you do the same for your family with my newest children's book, Explore the Book, 10 Essential Bible Lessons for Children.
I'm so glad that my parents taught me God's Word as a child. And if you're a parent like I am, I know this past year has been hectic for you too. Explore the Book contains 10 easy Bible lessons so you can feel confident that you're teaching your children what matters most.
As a proud father and now grandfather of triplets, I've had these same spiritual conversations with my own children. And now that my daughters are grown and my grandchildren are growing, I'm excited to be a part of encouraging the godly growth of your family as well.
Explore the Book is yours when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $125 or more, we'll also send you the Grace-Powered Living teaching series on both CD and DVD. Plus, we'll include two bonus copies of Explore the Book for you to share with your family or other children in your life. Because of the Gospel Hope Matching Challenge, your generous donation today will be matched. Thank you for helping Pathway to Victory shine brightly around the world.
We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But no matter what you've done, you can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is to repent of your sins and trust in Christ to save you. Well, next time we're going to shift our attention from the depraved sinner to the self-righteous sinner. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, you're invited to request a copy of Dr. Jeffress's brand new children's book, Explore the Book, 10 Essential Bible Lessons for Children. Plus, what every Christian should know about the Bible is our gift to you, simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $125 or more, we'll also send you the Grace-Powered Living teaching series. You'll get that on both CD and DVD. Plus, we'll include two bonus copies of Explore the Book for you to share with your family and friends. Because of our Gospel Hope Matching Challenge, your generous gift to Pathway to Victory will have twice the impact. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
You know, the ability for self-delusion is both limitless and it's dangerous. Those who fail to come to terms with their own sins are inclined to condemn others and show contempt for the grace of God, which is why they are fully deserving of the wrath of God.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, The Religious Right in Hell, here on Pathway to Victory.